Amen. All right. Y'all mind if I read a prayer? I'm going to be like the Catholics and the Episcopalian, but I've got a purpose in reading this. Father God, you have redeemed us for yourself, that you might have us wholly as your own, fully as your own, possessing, filling our inmost being with your own likeness, your perfect will and the glory of your holiness. And you seek to train us in the power of a free and loving will to take your will and make it our own, that in the very center of our being, that we may have your own perfection dwelling in us. And in your words, you reveal your will, that as I accept and keep them, that we may master their divine contents and will all that you will. And, oh, Lord, my God, let me live day by day in such fellowship with you that we may indeed in everything hear your voice, the living voice of the living God speaking to me. Let the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of your holiness, be to us your voice, guiding us in the path of simple, childlike obedience. And, Lord, that's my prayer for me and everybody in here, that we would surrender everything to you, to be what you want us to be, Father. And I thank you for doing that in all of us. And I ask and I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit be leading us tonight into the things that you want us to speak about and the things that you want us to know. And I praise you, Father, for doing that. And I ask, Lord, that the heavens be open for us for prayer time and for all the things that we need, Lord. And I thank you for that too, in Jesus' name. And I ask, Father, that if there be anyone that needs, that has great needs, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be there with the power and the authority to take care of business. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Glory to God, glory to God. Well, okay. And with you, okay. Anybody got a prayer request? Yes, Malcolm, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, thank you. A lot of things on my heart tonight. My dad's not doing well. He's not eating very much. My mom's quite upset about it. So I've been praying certain things for my dad that he make it, God bring him to a time when he can I probably shouldn't go into it here. I'm just praying that he'll have a chance to see some of the error and renounce it. I don't think that his salvation is dependent on that, but I've been praying that prayer anyway. So that's all. That's one thing. The other thing is Michael and I prayed yesterday for a friend. We also prayed Tuesday night for the same friend of mine here, and I ended up going, and I can't go into too much detail here. These folks are quite internet savvy, so anyway. But in my talking with the son of my friend who's in the hospital, I opened up a can of worms, and on both sides of a former battle that happened. So I realize there's more involved here than just the gentleman in the hospital. There's the whole family's involved. So I'm just praying that all of them get clean with the Lord. and also their adversaries that gave the church a lot of trouble years ago. I think there's a general unawareness that God is sovereign, and that God, when what Jesus said in Matthew 18 about forgiving our brother, he's serious about that, and he's no respecter of persons, and no matter what a person has done in their life, if they find somebody that they're not willing to forgive, they could lose it all. And I think that's a pretty scary prospect, but I think a lot of people don't realize that when somebody gets sick and is in trouble and may die, that there are reasons why they've gotten to that point. And that's a hard thing to run up against, and where people don't realize that, well, this is just God's will. Yeah, but things happen for a reason, and there are consequences. Anyway, I'm just, there's just a lot on my heart right now, and I can't get involved in this battle. I've already spoken my piece, and now I think I need to be praying for everybody involved, because it's possible that if people don't make things right, they're going to be dropping like flies. I don't want to see that. So I guess that's what's on my heart. I just want to bring it to you kind of, I don't know, I guess it's a prayer request too. I just want to kind of update you as to how, what's going on here. So.
Okay. Well, let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, teach people that Malcolm's talking to, show him in a dream that none of this matters. What matters is getting into heaven, getting into the eternal realm with you, Lord. And this unforgiveness that is permeating this family, Lord, I ask that you address it with a dream, a vision, or anything, a word from you, Lord, to one of them. And I ask that in the name of Jesus, so that this man can die peacefully and go on to home, if that's your will. And I ask that, and I pray that in the name of Jesus, Father. Glory, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah, that it would turn this family around. Amen. If you have to give the man that's in the bed sick a dream, a vision, and then wake him up to tell the family, Lord, I ask that in the name of Jesus too. Whatever it takes to change this family around. Amen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Michael. And thank you, everybody else who's praying. I know we all pray when we're praying for each other. So.
Amen.
And anyway. Oh, there's one. I promised somebody that I would bring this up tonight. There's another friend who has a friend. I don't know this person, but they're a former classmate of these folks. The doctors can't diagnose this woman, and can't do anything to help her. Apparently, she's adopted a 5-year-old girl. It sounds like a single home, a single parent type of home, because friends are taking care of the daughter right now. I'm just assuming some things. Anyway, I prayed with one of you guys here on the call earlier, but I just wanted to just bring it up to everybody that just asking you to agree that this. I don't know much about this lady, but I just. Praying that she make it and come through this fine. So, Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity to pray for this lady, and I thank you that you've set her free from this illness, and will reach down and touch her heart for you as well. I think she's a believer. I don't know anything about that, but anyway, just thank you, Lord, for getting her out of this pickle and getting her reunited with her daughter. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing that.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hi, Steve. Yes, Claire, go ahead. I'll get right to you, Pat. Bingo.
I have a praise report. So I went to gymnastics on Wednesday with the kids, and this mum, she's really lovely. She came up to me and she, oh, here we go. I've got to like mentally prepare myself for using that word, but you know, I mean it in the best sense. And I know you love me and Christ in me. So it's all good. And I'm going to continue using it because it's such a lovely word. But this lady came up to me and she was having a chat, and she said to me, she was quite shaken. She's very soft-spoken. And she just said, I need to tell you something. And I said, okay. And she said, I don't know where you stand on vaccinations and stuff, but I had my first Pfizer vaccine last week and I nearly died. So I was like, come again? So she told me the whole story, and she's got two young girls, and she basically told me she didn't want to get the shot, but there's been a lot of pressure from all kinds of family members and whatever. So she went in, and she's not enlightened or anything. I don't even know if she's saved. She just started telling me all of the stuff, but she went in to the, it's not even like a real clinic, right? They just use whatever building they can and try and shoot as many people up as they can. So she went into this public space and got the vaccine. And as soon as it was injected, she said she felt her heart want to explode and she couldn't breathe. And her heart, she said, I've never felt like that in my life. I've never felt such pain and I've never felt such fear. And her heart just kind of started, I don't know what it was doing because I'm not a medical person, but she was explaining it to me. And she said they phoned ambulances twice to get there quick enough to come and look after her. And then she coded. Her husband was in the parking lot outside with the kids. And so what was supposed to be just like a 40-minute thing landed up being 2 hours. And they were just trying to get her back. And she said all she had vision of, because she was lying back, was the form that she'd signed. And it said voluntary. And she realized she's done this to herself, you know. And she freaked out. And she just, so she was telling me all about it. But she's very, just like really well-mannered and polite and all of those things. So she said, you know, I just don't know where you stand on that sort of thing. So I said, well, it doesn't matter where I stand. I said, what are you going to do? Like, are you going to get the second shot? And she's like, well, they booked me in for it in 3 weeks' time. So I said to her, but you just had like a really rare, like, that, well, not, I mean, we know it's not rare, but she kept on saying it was rare. So I said, yeah, you've had this rare thing and it must be so traumatic. And she's like, I kept on thinking these thoughts, like, thank God I made the photo album for my girls last week. And, you know, thank God I bought the presents already because one child's having a birthday or something. And, you know, she was going through all these things. And I said to her, that is frightful. And she said to me, because she's got family in another country. And so she said to me, well, she did it also for, because this family keeps on pressuring her and saying, you know, you've just got to get it because when are we going to see you again? And they used to travel, extensively and often to see these family members. And so I just said to her, well, and she kept on like wanting me to tell her like what I would do, because I also have family that's far away. So I said to her, well, I am non-vaxxed, like I'm a non-vax person. I said to her, so, you know, that might be offensive to you. I said, and we asked all our family members not to take the vaccine, and most of them have not listened, but some have, and we're very grateful for that. I said, but that's the decision we've made. I said to her, if you take the second vaccine, like, or the second shot, like, what benefit is that? Because borders are closed. I said, you know, just like pure logic, like the borders are closed, so you can't go anywhere anyway. I said, why wouldn't you at least wait until borders were open? And then you could decide whether you want to put that in your body. I could see that wasn't really helping her. She didn't feel peace. And then I said to her, she's like, but what else? And I looked at her and I said, you know, I said, I think the reason I live And my worldview kind of determines every single thing. And I got to share the gospel with her. So I said to her, in a nutshell, I said, I believe in a sovereign God, and I believe that he sent his son to die for us. And that's for everything. I said, the whole curse. I said, now we live in a fallen world. I said, but we don't have to suffer under the curse. I said, and I never want to take God's role in any single facet of my life. Like, I don't want to say, yes, I trust you and you're sovereign, and then turn my back to him and say, but for this thing, I'm going to trust in men. I said, I just can't get that over my conscience. I said, I have to trust him for everything. And then I have to trust him that he is a good father. I said, and if it is my time to go, then I know he's going to protect my children. He's going to give my husband the strength. I said, but I'm pretty certain that that's not what he wants for me, because he says in his word that we will have a long life if we're obedient. I said to her, so that's where I stand. I said, and I don't know if that helps you. So she was like, yes, that helps me tremendously. So then she kept on talking about it. And I think she just maybe wanted to get it off her chest and told us like more sordid details. And her husband's pretty pro-vax, and you know, he's had the shot and he's going to go get his second shot. But after this situation, like he's made her wear an Apple Watch so she can, you know, check her heart rate all the time. And she was booked in for an echo. So this was on Wednesday that I spoke to her, and she would just kept on going on. So I didn't know what to do for her. I'm standing there. I can see this woman is traumatized. She is completely out of her depth. And I just looked at her and I said, and there was another who I know, like Christian lady, who was standing nearby, kind of in the conversation, but not really doing anything in the conversation. And look, I feel like I need to pray for you. I said, has anyone prayed for you ever? And she said, no one's prayed for me for a very long time. She said, and no one's prayed for me for this. So I said, well, would it offend you if I prayed for you? And she said, not at all. I said, look, we won't do it here, because I know that's a bit weird. There's people all around. But after the gymnastics class, let's go to my car. And I have a huge van, so I can just open things, and it looks almost like a home. And so I said, we'll just open the doors and we can just pray there. And this other Christian lady was standing there. I said, oh, would you like to join us? Now, I don't know how she normally prays, but anyway, it's fine. So after class, we went and I prayed like we would pray here together on this fellowship. And it was such a humbling experience. And she was so thankful. And it was just, oh man, like you just felt the spirit of the Lord. And then she told me later, because then she said, oh, I'm Catholic and I just haven't prayed for a long time. And I thought, okay, well, you know, like, I don't care what you are. Like, the point is God led me to pray for you today. Like, it doesn't matter. And then I know I've got the books in my boot, right? So I just gave her a book and I said, so you need to, you know, just, I feel like you need to read this. And she texted me yesterday, which was Thursday. And she said to me, like, this is the beauty, right? She's like, my heart is absolutely fine. The echo or the ECG or whatever it's called is absolutely fine. And I could, I could just say to her, well, thank you, God. Like, and I texted her back and I said, that is God. Like, he protected you. And she said, thank you so much for those prayers. They really were useful. And I know that I'm just so grateful that God has us where he needs us and that we get to do these things, and we're going to do them more and more. And I'm looking forward to the day where it's not just a prayer, but it's, you know, it's a touch and it is perfect healing. But that was a really good start. And I was just so happy. And it seems like she's a person of peace and that she's open to reading and learning. And I hope her husband, you know, comes along with her, and it's just wonderful. I'm so just so lovely.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for making these moments that we get out there. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, we just pray for that woman that she would grab the truth of the gospel and run with it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, that's good, Claire. Anyone else?
I was just kind of curious, what did you get a chance to pray for? Claire, remember?
So I said, look, I believe the Holy Spirit led me, but I'll just try and bring it to my remembrance. I said to her, you know, I praise God, he does all things well. And then I just said, Lord, you've called us today to pray for this woman. And I believe you want us to pray for her for a specific reason. I rebuke any ill effects from that vaccine off of her, out of her DNA, in the name of Jesus. And I pray a spirit of peace and a spirit of understanding over her. And then I started praying for her body to just, you know, manifest healing. And I prayed for her husband to have a gentle spirit, that the Lord would make him gentle and make him supportive in this point. And I also prayed for her family to come into the remembrance that they love her, and that if she goes against anything it goes against her conscience, you know, that's the Lord revealing sin to her, and it's different for everyone, and that they would understand that. I also thank God that she is laying down her life for her children and her husband, and that she's already doing so many things out of obedience. And, you know, if we aren't judged for our sin in ignorance, how much bigger is the blessing when we're obedient in ignorance, and just, you know, just really try to bless her as much as I could in the prayer. And then the other ladies who stood by prayed a beautiful prayer as well. It was just lovely.
Okay. That's awesome. That is awesome. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we thank you to put it in this family, this young family, not to take the next shot, in Jesus' name, because it's not going to end. There'll be another one after that, and another one after that, and possibly one like Will was talking about the other night. I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. Amen. Oh, me. I know they are. Okay, anyone else? Pat, go ahead.
Things are happening as well. At I went into the back loading dock, and I was talking to Barry, the security guard back there, and I got a chance to, he asked me to sit down, and we were talking, and he said that when I was sitting there, he got a text from his wife that she had received a text from one of her friends that her husband Victor was in the hospital going through some very trying, he was trying times, so to speak. He's in bad shape. He has gallstones that, and so Barry's, he read the prayer request that for us to pray that for Barry to pray that the gallstones would pass and he would get through. And so I said, well, Barry, do you want to pray now? And he said, sure. And so we were just on the back of the loading dock there, and just I just prayed and rebuked the gallstones, rebuked the power pushing that gallstone on him, and just went through a prayer of rebuke. Mentioned something about, you know, God's answer to our prayer for healing is always yes, and that we can trust him and put our faith in him, and etc. And just bound it and rebuked it, and thank God for that healing right there on the loading dock. And I was on my way by, I was carrying some trash out or something. I don't know what I was doing now, but, and when I was out finishing throwing the stuff in the trash bin, it came to me, gallstones, gall. And so I thought, you know, maybe there's a connection between forgiveness here or something. So I went back in, I said, Barry, the Lord just put this on my heart. Does this guy know if he has forgiven everybody, anybody that has offended him? And he said, oh, he's a Christian. He is a soul. I mean, he is 100% Christian, a preacher, and been a saint. I said, well, Barry, I didn't ask if he was a Christian. I said, does he have unforgiveness anywhere in his heart for anybody? Do you know? And he stopped, and I got the deer in the headlights type of look. And then, and I just had, you know, a time I said, you know, the Lord always has forgiveness for us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. But if we continue to have a repetition of needing that forgiveness or that a confession of that sin, there's probably something a little bit deeper inside us that God wants us to see and wants us to and that can happen. And so anyway, so I got him thinking about that, and then we prayed for that. I think we prayed for that then. But anyway, so I just said, listen, the guy is going to be healed. Give me a text when he has healed, because I'm leaving tomorrow morning, going to Ohio. So I won't be in there. So I told him, let me know, you know, what the status is here. So anyway, things are happening. The Lord is just throwing little things out there. I had another conversation with an electrician, on the floor out there. So there is a stirring in the spirit right now happening. And I think God is preparing us. I just had this, I guess, not an overwhelming thought, but it just another one of those things where you know you've read it 1,000 times, and then you stop and you think about it, and there just seems to be a little bit different light. And that is Christ in us, that the Lord isn't necessarily looking for us to take a pack of information and a pack of knowledge and this and that and have it all packed up and ready to go, so that when the opportunity comes we can sift through the file cabinet there and grab what we need and answer that prayer. He's looking more for just spontaneous obedience and allow him to respond to the situation. So it just seemed like I got a little bit different light on that today, but anyway, praise the Lord. So I'd like everybody just to join with me. His name is Victor, and again, for the gallstones, and then also for an awareness of any unforgiveness that he has, and just I'd like, just God just to open up his eyes and give him a different perspective. Likewise for Barry as well, that Barry would see the connection as well, because I've explained some of the problems that he has. So, Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that if we continue in your word, you said you are faithful. You are faithful and just to forgive us our sin when we confess our sin. But if we continue in your word, Lord, you lead us into the truth. And that truth, just like an onion, continues to peel away, and we just see more and more of it. So, and that truth will make us free. And Lord, I just pray for Barry. I pray for Victor that you would, Lord, you would open up his eyes. Obviously, I suspect he's been a Christian for a long time. Barry is 80 years old, so I would assume that he's been at it for a while. But Lord, I just ask that you would rattle his tree. You're doing it right now. Shake up that that foundation, Lord, and uncover the roots of what he is dealing with and allow him to see it. And so we, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for your grace in his life. We thank you for enlightenment in his life and allow him to see. We just command light to shine in that darkness. And we thank you for it. Thank you for your word, Lord. Just put that word in his heart and open up his eyes, open up his understanding. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We just believe with Pat that it is done in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
All right, before I get off, can I just pray for Malcolm's father?
Yes, you can. Lord, that up. I forgot about it.
Father, we just we'd ask you, Lord, just to bless Malcolm's father in this situation. Lord, you know where he is at in his spirit, what he's struggling with within him. You know the restraints that are holding him back. But Lord, we started this meeting tonight with surrender, with total surrender to you. And Lord, I pray not only would you give Malcolm's dad a fresh and new awareness of what you mean by surrender. I'm sure that he's been a Christian for a long time and probably running with the company line, so to speak. Taking many things for granted, reading over the word, glossing over it. I don't know, Lord, you know. But I'm just asking that you would open up a new awareness of your spirit in him, Lord. Open up a new portion of your word and shake up his thinking, Lord. Give him an awe moment, that you would just shake up his foundations and give him a seeking heart to seek you for the reality of your life in him. Lord, I don't know what else to pray, but I know that that my heart is out for him, a desire to see him make it into the kingdom with all the benefits of the words that you have given him and placed in his heart. Lord, just bless him, open up his eyes, give him light, give him strength, give him grace to repent, to come into the fullness of Jesus. And I thank you for it. Lord, bless Malcolm and give him wisdom. I know that he is close, obviously close to this situation. Give him wisdom to pray in accordance to your will in his life, Lord. Just bless him and fill him with the Holy Spirit and fill that family with the Holy Spirit. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing it.
Yeah, thank you, Pat. Thank you, Lord.
All right, Geneva, go ahead.
That was a good prayer, Pat. I wanted to say, too, kind of what Claire was saying. I just thought that was really good. I liked how she explained, which kind of taught me something, too, about the whole vaccine to that lady. It wasn't all factual about the vaccine and like, well, there's this many people who are getting it and here's these statistics, you know, because you hear that a lot, you know, why not to get it? But I like that she put it toward the Lord totally and just said, you know, that he's sovereign and that she wants to believe him for all things. And I mean, that helped me with some things I'm going through right now too, but I was just like, you know, that's what we should keep it about, is about the Lord. And so it made me think, you know, if God brings somebody like that in my path, that's how I want to explain it too. So, but also wanted to say that I'm not sure if, you know, some of y'all heard, I don't know, but
I guess there's an executive order or something that Biden signed that healthcare workers now have to get the vaccine or something of that sort. Well, or if you're not, I don't know about all healthcare workers, but if you work in a nursing home, sorry, let me, if you work in a nursing home, not all healthcare workers yet. And well, I work, you know, this job I have now that I really love and the Lord's really blessed me with, I go in and out of nursing homes all the time. So I don't know if that is going to apply to me yet, but my company is very liberal. And I wouldn't be surprised if they do try to mandate that on us or try to get us to follow suit. But anyways, I've been thinking about it a lot today, and just like, you know, with me and Morgan being here in Florida and just kind of being us and having this baby and stuff, I'm thinking, I'm like, Lord, I really don't want to lose my job. But then, you know, me and Isaac talked about it today, and Isaac told me about a really good scripture, which thank God I was able to meditate on. And, you know, I was saying, I feel like the Lord kind of convicted my heart that, you know, I was coming up with plans like, okay, well, if I lose my job because I'm not going to get the vaccine, then this is what we'll do. We can do this and we can do that. And I feel like the Lord kind of hushed me and was just like, you know, you don't need to have a backup plan. It's not by our works, you know, God will provide. And I felt like the Lord kind of just gave me a peace finally today that not to worry about it. Like, you know, he is sovereign. He's going to take care of us no matter what. And even if I do have to give up my job, you know, I know that God will provide and take care of us. And, you know, I need to even be careful just about like trying to plan ahead of time, because I'm kind of a planner. And so, I don't need to be that way. Not with the Lord. I don't need to plan anything, you know, cause he's already got it all written out and everything's already taken care of. So anyways, I guess I'm gonna say a prayer real quick. Dear Lord, thank you, God, for just all things, Jesus. Lord, I know that you're before all of this, God, and Lord, you know the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end, Father. And Lord, I rebuke any fear and anxiety that's going to try to, or that has tried to come on me, Father. Lord, I ask God that you protect my mind, Jesus, with your blood. And God, help me, Father, to relax and to be at rest like that dream that you'd given me, Father. And Lord, let me dwell in your rest, Father. God, I just ask for everybody here too that's either going through the same situation or will be, Father. I ask that you help us to not even think twice about it and to be excited. God, help us to be excited and to be joyful for the fact that you have already provided and that you're going to continue to provide. And Lord, I ask, Father, that you bring my heart to that place, Jesus. And God, I know you're going to take care of me. You're going to take care of me. You're going to take care of all of us, Father. And Lord, I just thank you for your word and for your sovereignty. And God, help these people, Lord, that are lost out here and that don't know Jesus and that are just being led blindly. God, Lord, help, give us compassion. And Jesus, give us the words to speak when we need to speak them. And God, let us always be led by the Spirit. Let us stay in the Spirit, Father, so that way when the time comes, we know what to say and how to act. And Jesus, I thank you, God, that during this process, we're going to produce your fruit. And Lord, you're going to be over us. And Father, you put the light in us, Jesus. And I thank you, Father. And God, we're going to radiate that. In your name we pray. Amen.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? Yes, Marilyn.
Yeah, mine's kind of on the same line. My neighbor called me last night, and she works for the school here, and we live in a little tiny town, and the school doesn't have that many employees, but they have mandated that everybody has to be vaccinated. And Ollie is a Christian. And the Lord gives her good dreams. She's had lots of dreams about, you know, being in the tribulation. And both she and her husband both have said they're not taking the vaccine. And she's a local. You know, she's 45 years old. She's lived her whole life here, so she knows everybody. And there are people here in our town who are not vaccinated. They don't want to be vaccinated. And you know, it's amazing. One of them, she was talking to me about, you know, is not somebody that you would think of as a Christian at all. But yet from somewhere in her background, she's very concerned about the vaccine being the mark of the beast. And people are just very unsettled. Very, very unsettled. And, you know, Barry and I pray every night. And, you know, we've prayed for years, you know, that the Lord pour out a spirit of repentance here. And it does seem like that is starting to happen. And the Lord is opening doors for my little neighbor as she speaks to people that aren't vaccinated and don't want to get vaccinated. You know, she is telling them things like, well, you believe in God. You know, if you believe in God, we can believe that he's going to take care of us. It's really time for people to get right with the Lord. It's really time for people to learn to trust the Lord. So anyway, I just want to pray for my dear, sweet little neighbor and the ones that are here that don't want this. And so, Father, I just thank you and praise you that we can bring this all to you. You see everything. You know everything. None of this is a surprise to you. I thank you for the dreams that you've given Ollie. And I thank you, Lord, it just seems like a gift that you're giving some of these people here that they don't even appear to be saved, and yet supernaturally, they just don't want to get vaccinated. It's just, I believe your grace being poured out on them because I believe that they're part of the elect, or some of them are part of the elect, and not that you can't heal people that have gotten the vaccination. We are believing that. But Father, it just, it seems like things are just happening so quick. It seems like we're just looking down the barrel of a gun or a cannon. And yet, Father, when I was praying today, this afternoon, you reminded me that no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. And so I just cast down this mandate for all this forced vaccinations. Father, I know we can't pray all this stuff down, but it just seems like this is not the mark of the beast. It's just the dress rehearsal. And Father, you do all things well, and you're gonna use this to help people be prepared for the things that are coming. But Father, we are trusting and praying and believing for this outpouring of the Holy Spirit to bring people into the kingdom. And loving Father, that you're gonna let people repent and believe, and you're going to enlighten the eyes of their understanding, and you're just going to draw them to you through the blood of Jesus, the life of Jesus. And just show them how much they need a Savior and how much they cannot save themselves. So, Father, I thank you and I praise you. I just pray for mercy, Father. I pray mercy and for the ones that are going to come into the kingdom because of this. And what I see here in this tiny little town, I would imagine is probably going on throughout our state and our country, and probably even throughout the world. You're shaking everything that can be shaken with these people. And Lord, just all these plans of wickedness, we cast them down in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus for now. I know there's coming a time when they can't be cast down, but for now, I condemn every tongue that rises in judgment against your people. And the casting down of this weapon, it's not going to prosper against your people right now. And I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Good prayer. Another good prayer. Go ahead, Isaac.
Everybody, good to see everyone. I just want to share an encouraging story. I need some tools at work. I have lots of tools at home, lots of them. And I bring the ones that I need. But the tool that I don't have that I need is what you would call, there's lots of different names for them. You can call them side cuts, you know, dikes, whatever. There's all kinds of names for these little tools. However, I got normal size pairs. You use them to cut things, whatever. But I need like a small size, right? Cut these zip ties, because these people at work, they zip tie everything. If it can be zip tied, it's zip tied. And it just really is a headache. So I was thinking to myself, well, I'm going to have to go to Home Depot and buy some. But I keep forgetting. Like, it just never crosses my mind, because I always got a lot more going on my mind other than these little bitty zip tie cutters, side cuts, whatever. So I'm going somewhere here. Hang with me. So I was driving. I got home from a 10-day rotation. This is from Detroit. I got home and I hang out with family. I don't know what we're doing. Maybe going to get something to eat. So I come to – we live in the country. And we come up to a stop sign. And I'm sitting there. And I look over on the side of the road. It's probably 40 or 50 feet away. I see some little red handles. I'm like, what are those? Well, it's a tool. You know, I like tools. I'm like, well, I'm going to go check that out. So I'll park the vehicle. I go and look, and man, it's these little bitty zip tie cutters, exactly what I needed, exactly what I needed. And I know it seems so trivial, right? But it's not. And there's a reason I'm telling you this. It's not, because God will provide in these days, even for the small things, right? Now, that ain't my only one. I have another one, okay? I also need a certain type of cable. They don't even make this cable. Okay, they may, but I haven't been able to find it. I went to Walmart looking for this cable. I had it one time before, but it's like build this cable out of different parts and pieces, because I need it for this, my aunt, which is also trivial. Doesn't matter, but I still need this cable. Well, I went to Detroit and I was working there. I went to Walmart to look for it. It wasn't there. Wasn't even there. It just isn't there. Can't find it. I was like, well, okay, whatever. Anyways, so I'm sitting at work, and I was kind of by myself this time, and I just finished, commissioning, and we had these big plastic totes. We use them to get, to make sure we're getting, appropriate rate of product, and I just had a whole stack of them, bunches of them everywhere, and they were flipped upside down, and inside the handle, you know how, if you have it right side up, you put your hand and your fingers up underneath the handle? Well, it's upside down, so the handle is like a cup. And there is this cable, exact cable I need, the exact one. It's a real weird-looking thing, too. Like, it's not the most typical, but it's available. Anyways, it is that cable. And I was like, man, there it is. And, I know it seems weird, but I hope this is just kind of refreshing. And I hope it – I guess what I'm trying to get out of this is this. God's going to provide our needs. I didn't even have to ask him. He just did it. And I know in these days to come, he's going to provide our every need, our everyone, even for the things that we may think is not important. God's paying attention, man. He's an awesome father. I just want to say that. I think you're muted, Michael.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, it's the little things in life that really gets our attention, that, gosh, God loves me even this much to get me these little things also. That's awesome. That is so awesome. Go ahead, Tim.
I just wanted to share with everybody here, since on Tuesday night we prayed for rain, the fires that were going around with my daughter and my granddaughter, and set off the conference call a little early, but before I went to bed, I checked the radar back in Spokane, and 2 hours and 20 minutes after we prayed for rain, there was a yellow blob on the radar over my daughter's house and over the leading edge of the fire. And it didn't do a lot to put out the fires, but it did dampen the ground and put out those embers that were flying, and they didn't have any more trouble. And tonight I looked at the forecast, and Spokane's supposed to get a good soak and rain on Saturday. So thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers and for giving them the water they so badly need.
That is awesome. Thank you, Lord. All right, Malcolm.
Yeah, just to follow up on the rain thing, we're up north of Spokane. And, we had nice, heavy rain, consistent heavy rain. And just, in fact, it etched our road away a little bit. So that was pretty cool. And the ground is still all nice and dark. So, it's still wet, even though it's, and then it did rain a little bit, just a little bit today, not enough to really do much, but enough to get me out there trying to cover things up. So that was a real blessing. In fact, that after that rain was over, all the heavy, heavy smoke, the smoke was just really heavy. It was all gone. There was no more smoke. Everything was clear. Next day we had a real clear day, a little bit of smoke last night, but anyway, it got, our evacuation level dropped from evacuation level 2 down to 1, which is just the first level, which is just get ready. And then the guys behind us here that were at level 3, which is go, get out now, those guys were moved back to level 2. So anyway, that was just an exciting thing to, that God, you just stepped in. And then, yeah, tomorrow it's supposed to rain here. I don't know where your daughter is, your grandkids are, but Tim, but it's supposed to rain here tomorrow. And then all, through starting tomorrow, I think about noon or so through tomorrow, through Saturday, was about, it looked like they were forecasting about 0.3 inches. But I don't know. It seems like we got more than that here. Anyway, praise God for all that,
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for rain wherever it's needed.
Yeah. My wife got so scared that she, in an effort to try to convince the firefighters to defend our house, she chopped down a bunch of really neat flowers we had out front. I told her, I said, these are green. They're not going to burn. Anyway. But people get, they get scared. You certainly would want to chop down junipers or, anything that might be combustible. But anyway, so the house looks a lot cleaner now. I've got all the stuff pulled away and trying to figure out what to do with it.
Amen. All right.
Hey, everyone. Good to see you. Isaac, when you told that story about, I said, it says these little insignificant things. It reminded me of when I, like a testimony I had when I just read Sovereign God. It's long ago. And it's kind of like in the first time in my life, I realized that God is real, that he's actually real. And I remember reading about the Bible and Merricks for the first time, and it just blew my mind. I couldn't believe it. And I was working in Johannesburg at that time and commuting between Johannesburg and Pretoria. And it's a very, very busy highway. It takes about an hour and a half to get home from work. And I was thinking about this the whole time at work, about the Lord. And but I can actually talk to him and ask him things. And I was blown away by this numerics. And as I got in my car on my way home, I asked the Lord, I said, so you can really hear me? I said, Can you show me a 000 just on a number plate? Just want to see a 000 as I started driving. And it wasn't minutes, and I saw a 000. I go, okay, well, you know, that could be coincidence. I said, what about a 111? And I'm driving, I'm sitting in traffic, and I saw a 111. I thought, okay, what about a 222? And you know where this is going. It took, by the time I got, just before I got home, just as I was about to get off the highway, I saw a 888. I was at a 888. And I asked the Lord, I said, what about a 999? Then we complete the whole set. And I heard him speak to me. I don't know how. It was just the first time ever. And he said, no, that's enough. Don't test me anymore. And I thought, wow, that is just incredible. I couldn't believe it. I said, oh, okay, all right. And I never did that again. But it's so trivial. You know, it was just amazing.
That's enough. We'll stop your little games now. That's awesome. All right. Anybody else? I remember the first time I heard his voice, too. Y'all heard the story. I was putting on my blue jeans early one morning. And I said, I just love you, Lord. And right back here, the Lord said, I love you, too, Michael. I just fell out. I like to fell out. I fell back on the bed. I said, oh, my gracious, what was that? That was awesome. That was awesome. All right. Anyone else? Yes, Pat.
This is not a prayer request, but did anybody see the interview? This is on... I don't know if I saw it on YouTube or whatever, but it was Tucker Carlson interviewing John Voight. And they were talking more on the political mode, and then he stopped and made a transition into when he heard from God, and then he gave a whole testimony of that and how it actually changed his life. But it was that voice. He was going through a divorce or something and had all kinds of problems in his life or whatever, and he said he was on the floor and he was crying on his hands and knees, and the words that came out of his mouth were, why does it have to be so why does it have to be so hard? And he said, now he was at the bottom of the barrel, and he said he heard very distinctly in his ear, it's because it's supposed to be hard. Now, when you think about that, that doesn't really, it's not tremendously encouraging, you know, but that voice in his ear, he said it totally, he stopped, he was stunned, he got up, but he said the thing that happened to him was that He was aware for the first time that he wasn't alone and that God was there. And he said from that point on in his he totally changed everything in his life. Everything in his life changed based upon that awareness. So it's a very I can't remember that the first time that I heard that voice as well, but I just thought it was very interesting. This guy, you know, you never think about like a movie star and, you know, whatever, these people, but it was a quite impactful discussion that he had there, but it's pretty interesting. I don't know if anybody else saw it or not, but it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I saw that. That was good. That was good. It was on Tucker's Carlson. Yeah. Yep. That's... All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Isaac.
Actually, it's me. Can you hear y'all? Hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Since we're sharing testimonies, I thought I'd give one. The other day, I was at getting my oil changed in my truck, and so we were waiting inside in the lobby area, and in the little kids section, there is a TV playing, and we don't normally watch TV, so I don't really know what's on, but this show that was on was like. Right away, I was like, I don't really like that show. I don't want the kids to watch it. But there was a sign right next to the TV saying not to turn it off, not to mess with it. And if I wanted to change a channel, I had to go ask someone. So I'm like, I don't really want to ask anyone to change the channel, you know. So I basically just, you know, said a prayer to the Lord, more just like a comment, like, Lord, please, I don't want my kids watching this. Can you please do something? And then, like, right away, the TV started fuzzing, and then it stopped and froze. And then the screen turned black, and it said lost signal. I looked outside. It wasn't even raining or anything. And the TV, no more than 10 feet away in the adult area, was still playing just fine. So I'm like, the Lord just turned it off just for us, just so that the kids didn't have to watch that show. And then, no joke, the TV came back on, like half an hour later, right as the show was ending. So it was just specific for that show that I didn't want watching the kids to watch. So Lord's awesome.
Yeah. Father.
God is so good. He loves him little children, don't he? Man, yeah, he's done that for us too recently at a restaurant. Oh, I don't doubt it. I don't love God. God loves us. He wants to do the things that get our notice. Amen. All right. Anyone else? It's been good. Is that it? Okay.
Someone has their hand up.
I think someone, that's Missy. Go ahead, Missy.
Boy, that was quick. Anybody else? Didn't get much time. Anyway. I like to give a testimony. Tomorrow will be 2 weeks it's been since I rode my bike, but I rode my bike today. Because just been busy doing a lot of stuff and rain and just being on the road with seeing my family and stuff. But anyway, and I've had all these attacks in my body here lately too and everything. And they're all pretty much gone, you know, and manifestly, should I say. And so, you know, the Lord brought to my attention something after I got done riding my bike. But when I was riding my bike, you know, because like I'm like not having ridden it, I'm used to for the most part riding it 3 times a week and for an hour. And you know, I was like thinking, oh gosh, I'm going to feel like, you know, I was kind of like thinking I'm going to just feel like I'm out of sorts, you know, riding it for not having ridden it that long. But, you know, I felt a little, you know, kind of just for a little bit, you know, just barely a little bit. But I rode my bike probably furthest I've ever ridden it in an hour's time on the rail trail. And I was just like, I was like just going along, and I was just, I had all this energy and this and strength that I, you know, was surprising, you know. And the Lord got my attention, and why I had all that strength and energy in my body, you know. And and one thing that you had mentioned, Michael, on Tuesday was, you know, about praying in the spirit, helps you with your health and your energy or strength or whatever, you know, helps you with your health. And the Lord brought that to my attention, because earlier in the morning, I had a pretty long time of praying in the spirit. And it was just like he showed me it was because of that. And so I was just like, wow, thank you, Lord. And it was really good. It felt good to get out there and ride my bike, since I hadn't ridden it for almost 2 weeks. And Lord's good. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Yeah, Missy, I went out the other day too, first time in a long time. Looked like a drowned rat when I got home. I mean, the bottom came out. Anyway. All right, anyone else? Let's talk about holiness. What do you think? Y'all want to talk about some holiness? All right, I'm going to read you a little bit of something here from Lake, what he says. The real Christian is a separated man. We know that. He is separated forever unto God in all the departments of his life, and so his body and his soul and his spirit are forever committed to God. Therefore, from the day that he commits himself to God, his body is as absolutely in the hands of God as his spirit or his mind or soul. He can go to no other power for help or healing except to God. This is what gives such tremendous force to such scriptures as this in Jeremiah 17:5. Cursed be the man that trusts in man and makes flesh his arm, and whose heart departs from the Lord. We'll read that again. Cursed be the man that trusts in man and makes flesh his arm, and whose heart departs from the Lord. And he goes on to say this a little bit more. I'm just going to read just a little bit more. The impression I wish to leave is this, that a hundredfold consecration to God takes the individual forever out of the hands of all but God. This absolute consecration to God, this triune salvation, is the real secret of the successful Christian life. When one trusts any department of his being to man, he is weak in that respect. And that part of his being is not committed to God. When we trust our minds, souls, and our bodies to man, two parts are out of the hands of God. And there remains only our spirits in tune with heaven. That ought not to be so. The committing of the whole being to the will of God is the mind of God. Okay, now I want to open it up to discussion. How do we keep from making our trust in man and only 100% unto God? Because we're fixing to come into that area in our life where we're going to have to trust him for everything. What's the word say about that? How do we come into that hundredfold maturization process? Yes, Smithy.
Well, reading God's word and believing everything that he says and putting it in your heart and changing your mind and repenting. Repenting,
amen.
You know?
Amen. That's a pretty general statement. There's a word that I'm looking for, though, and I think you all know it. I know you do. What's the one thing that the Lord told us to do? Go, Julie.
I think maybe what you're saying is sanctification, sanctifying ourselves. It's walking our faith out, believing.
Yeah, but how do we get to that part, the innate obedience? Let me just go ahead and say that, innate obedience. Obedience, yes, to the word, like we've already been talking about. It's all obedience, right, to the word. What draws us into that sanctification? Amen. So that's what I'd like to talk about a little bit tonight, if y'all want to. You still got 45 minutes here. The floor is open for discussion. Yes, Angelica. Obedience, the oil of the wise. What did the Lord do? What did Jesus do? He said, I don't do anything unless the Lord tells me. That's my Father tells me. Go ahead, Claire. I see you. Did you have something you wanted to say?
I did. I wanted to say that exact verse. And I wanted to say that, you know, we have to, what I'm realizing more and more is that the flesh is dead and it's done, but it acts like a zombie. And so it revives itself at times. And then you have to see whether that behavior at that point is aligned with the word. So you've got to be like the Bereans, always testing, not testing other people, but testing yourself. Like, is this the reaction that Jesus would give? Is this the thought that Jesus wants? Is this, you know, and that you will only know if you've read, and you'll only know if you've been doing the works of Jesus. If you've been doing the works of the flesh, well, then you'll be given over to the flesh. So we've got to be cutting that off all the time until it's completely refined and clean.
Amen. I think, and I'm just going to put it out there, I think that we have to make up our minds that we want to follow Jesus in everything. And when we do that, we will attain to that hundredfold maturity. And we have to want to above and beyond our flesh, that our flesh, even when it hurts, and I know we don't like to do hurt, but the Lord requires it. Who was it that had the, gosh, somebody talked about, was it you, Ryan? No, it was some, John Voight said the word that he got was what? Pat? What was the word that John Voight got, Pat?
It's supposed to be hard.
It's supposed to be hard. Exactly. And when we obey the Lord in everything, it's going to be hard. Tried and tested. That's right. Tried and tested. You know, just like that preacher told me when I first got saved, he said, man, it's going to be like tiptoeing through the tulips after you get saved. He lied like a dog. He did. He lied. It was hard. I'm telling you, it was hard. And it hadn't slacked up hardly at all either. Most of y'all know that. It's hard. Go ahead, Pat. Who was? Somebody raised your hand, flashed your hand over. That you, Pat? Claire?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
When we started down this path, actually, I thought of this this morning. And I was just, I was thinking about it. When you were, I know that it is hard, but I believe that it is obviously hard on the flesh and scary, you know, fearful at times when we are faced with obeying God's word in a certain area that we maybe are we're fearful of going in that direction, I guess you might say. But it is, and I don't know if I believe that this is, I guess, why we kind of continually go through confession and stumbling in sin and confessing it, that whole process that we go through that humbles us for a purpose. But I believe, I guess what I was thinking today is that it is all for a purpose. It's not to be a continual life. What am I trying to say? There's a purpose in it. Let me just read the scripture that I know this, the Lord gave me this a while back. But Hebrews 10:10, the first part of the chapter kind of leads up to it. But in the previous chapter, chapter nine feeds into it and everything like that. So he builds a whole point. But verse 10 said, by this will, talking about God's will, Father's will in providing Jesus, by this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And it was God's will that we were sanctified. And then if you go down in verse 14, he says, for by one offering he has perfected for all times those who are sanctified. So we were sanctified by God's will, and in that same sacrifice of Jesus, we were not only sanctified, but we were perfected, completed. And I believe that at least with me, that has to be the foundation of holiness, of that holiness, not only knowing that there is an end. When you are completed, when you're perfected, I don't believe that we are ever going to get out of going through tribulation. I don't think Paul, Paul's a good example. He never made it. I don't think he ever got through the point of going through tribulation. But there was a, I believe, a place of perfection in the spirit where that process, even though it may have been difficult on the flesh, him and Silas, I believe, were praising God in the midst of that that dark dungeon that they were thrown in. They were God's spirit was gushing out of them. They were praising God. They were joyful. And even though they were in a very trying time, that coming without from that joy pouring out of their heart and their gratefulness to God, and that whole Holy Spirit sanctified, perfected, one with God type of environment that they were in within them, allowed them to go through those times. And I guess I get the point I'm making is that there is a certain maturing process where I believe where we're starting to work and learning to walk and whatever. But there, I believe, is a place of faith where we enter in to and rest in that work that God has done within us. Verse 16 said, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws upon their heart, and in their mind I will write them." So I, and of course, then their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. I know that there's many applications to that, but I think the application, at least that I am looking for, is that place of holy, that place of rest in what he has done in that perfection of us. I believe it is on the verge of being manifested simply because we're in God's timing, and it's all up to God through this process. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say. Thanks.
Okay. All right. That's good, Pat. Thank you very much. All right. Anybody else? What y'all are saying in the chat is all good. And I know the people out there would like to hear that at times. Maybe we could just talk about it rather than just chat about it. I'm just saying. Yes, Claire, go ahead.
I'll just restate what I said in the chat because maybe it'll spur some discussion. But I think we all, some of us were really pulled out of the mire, weren't we? Some of us were really at the end and he graciously stepped in. But some of us thought we were doing just fine. And I think there's that saying that says, the enemy of a great life is a good life. And I think can rather say, you know, the enemy of a godly life is a life ruled by the flesh. Because when you're living in the flesh, it can be awfully good. It doesn't mean that you're taken over by obscene, vile passions, but you're still taken over by the flesh, you know, and you're striving and wanting and the materialism and all of that, which are vile passions, but they don't look it to the society. They don't look it to the world. And I think we have to really consider, you know, I always... Because I come from Africa, I always look at the joy that I saw in those who had the least. It was such joy in the Lord that I never saw in the white folks. And, you know, when I saw someone who was serving the Lord, there was just a joy that I just knew that when I decided to, when God was going to pull me out, that I wanted to have that joy that I saw in them, because they had nothing to begin with, but then they had the joy of the Lord. That seems like, for some, it seems insurmountable, and for others, it seems like the obvious choice. Whereas for those who have everything, they've got running water, they've got AC, they've got, you know, their quarterly holidays or whatever it is, or whatever it could be. For everyone, it's different. Sin is so pervasive. What's holding you back from that life of godliness, of just utter obedience, knowing that your line that you walk is so fine, and that you just want to, you just, there's this want, this absolute desire to do what the Father wants us to do. And in that, there's that sanctification, and that's the beauty and the joy. But it is hard to give up self. And you can have self all you want, and then you're going to go burn for eternity. I don't think that's very wise.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that. That's good. All right. Anyone else? What comes with the benefits of, I'll tell you, what comes with the benefits of obedience, what comes with the benefits of obedience, of course, is peace in your heart, joy in your heart, because God is there in his fullness. And not only that, the power of God is evident in your life. And you're hearing from God and you're understanding what it is to walk in his goodness, you know, and you'll be able to help a lot of people. A lot of people. Okay, anyone else? Did we get through all of this? Amen. Yes, Angelica.
I think I'll just add a little to what Claire was saying. What, you know, what the Lord had showed me when I was first born again was that, you know, he just kind of opened my eyes to all the world and just the lie it is, you know. And the Bible says that, you know, if the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not in you, and you just can't love both. And everything, every facet of life has its place in the mind of the enemy, in the mind of Satan. And convenience was one of the major ones that I saw that really was just has destroyed so many, because, you know, our society is built on convenience and gratifying, instant gratification. And it just, there's no saying no to the flesh, you know, if it feels good, do it kind of thing. And so I think for many people, you know, the thought of denying self is just, it's just unthinkable. You know, because of this convenience that we have, you know, fast food, groceries, I mean, every convenience known to man, it works against what God is teaching us, patience, right? Our souls are one in patience. And so a lot of people can't, you know, if God gives them a gift of faith, they won't hang on to it because the patience is not there and they're not willing to cultivate it because, you know, they all they know is this immediate gratification, and they're not willing, you know, to go any further. And so we have to pray for the young people, especially because they don't see it as that. That's all they've ever known, you know, is instantly gratifying whatever desire come, whatever whim, whatever feeling comes their way. And that's, I mean, that's the way the whole world is, but especially the children, you know, where it says, in, you know, that in the end days, they're going to be lovers of self, lovers of pleasure, and all these things, you know, and that's crazy. You know, I think most of us here kind of grew up with a mindset to work and, you know, to have a good work ethic and provide and all those things, but they don't have that. They want to live for pleasure, and they want to just, that's all they want to do. And so, that's the kind of thing that we, you know, we have to be able to be so separate that when we go in to minister to these people, you know, what they have is not going to appease us in any way. It's not going to minister to our flesh because we're dead to that. And, they'll be able to come to Christ because like Michael said, the power of Christ that rests upon you because you're willing to give that up, because it's only that's going to make a change in anyone's life. It's not anything we can say or do to convince anyone. It's just the power of God, and the power of God that rests upon us is because we give up that life, you know? So.
Amen. Preaching the word where signs and wonders follow. Healing the sick, raising the dead. All those good things. I bring them in. When you see destruction all around you, and you have peace in your heart because you know you're in the hands of God, they're going to notice that. So why do you have such peace when everything is falling apart? Then you can open up and show them. Let me just tell you what this peace is. It's Christ in me. Anybody else? I like what you were saying up there, Rita. I know you're at work, so. He got up there from David Hill's Truth About Born Again. You can do nothing unless you have a born-again spirit. With the born-again spirit, you are then empowered to hear the voice of God through his spirit. You have a relationship with God through his spirit. It's spirit to spirit, you see. Jesus was born of God, so he had a born-again spirit. He had a born-again soul. And because he had a born-again soul, he received a born-again body. And if you get a born-again soul, you'll have a born-again body. If you don't get a born-again soul to some extent, 36 or 100-fold, you won't have a born-again body. When Jesus spoke about those who bore fruit, 36 and 100-fold, he was talking about the manifestation of sonship as 100-fold. You are in this process. We're all sons of God through faith. You must believe that the Son of God exchanged his life for yours, which is reconciliation. So that now by faith you are a son. How do you get sonship? You have to first be a son by faith. And that's what our whole walk is about, is faith. He's a good teacher, isn't he? Amen. He can put them words right out there, brother. It's good. Yeah, Justin. A man that speaks of himself seeks his own glory. Less has always been more, and weak has always been strong. Yep. Baby's got a book out, Witness the Way to God's Power. That's a good book. One of my favorites. Claire says, convenience is killing us. I don't know. It's pretty convenient to have convenience. But it's not going to last. Yes, they do, Julie. They have, people have an entitlement mentality now. Well, just... That's so true. Look what happened. Look what happens when they give everybody a check. They quit work. They go home and then they don't want to come back because they're making more money from the government. Than they, you know, that's just crazy. Anyway, go ahead, Andrew.
So it's abiding in the cross then.
Yep.
You know, the Lord can also use, you got to also consider the Lord's sovereignty because he can use a bad person to help you even and to bless you. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and them that dwell therein. Because when there's nobody else around and you're pretty lonely, and you're in need of the Lord to do everything beyond you can think or ask. Praise God. Glory to God.
Amen. I remember an old friend of mine, and I hadn't talked to him in years. He said this, he said, if you don't have anybody around you, go out and minister the gospel and make your own. I'm not trying to cut at you, Andrew. I'm just saying that's what he said, and that struck me. It's to evangelize your neighborhood, you know. Yes, Missy.
You know, talking about this convenience thing. Now, this isn't meant as a criticism. It's meant to just express, especially the young people nowadays, how hooked in they are into having everything convenient. And I did have to comment to my son about this one thing. I tease my son, Kurt, who's Blake's daddy, my grandbaby's daddy, my son. Everything's about convenience. He has Google set up in the house. Okay, Google, turn on the family room light. Okay, Google, turn the light, lower the dim the lights, or, you know, and he has a camera at the front door and for like security reasons and stuff like that, you know, and knowing when they have a package dropped off and everything. And I tease him, I said, your father and I missed the boat. We should have called you Gadget, because he has a gadget for everything coming and going. And then when we were there the last time, I think it's this past weekend, he was talking about Blake needs to go to the next car seat because, you know, she's too big for the car seat now. So he was saying about getting three car seats, one for his vehicle, one for Brooks, and one for the babysitter. And I said, oh my gosh, I said, your father and I, we just took it out. We never had to, you know, we just back and forth, you know. And I was like, oh my gosh, I just like what I think lots of times, thank you, Lord, that one day he's going to be delivered from all this, all this gadget stuff and all this technology. And I mean, he's the thing of it is he's very smart and savvy and techie and knows how to do this, that, and the other thing. And so it just fuels him, you know. I trust and believe that all that stuff is going to be good, put to good use for the kingdom one day, however that looks, I don't know, but I don't sweat it. I don't get too bothered by things, you know, of how my boys are wrapped up in the world and stuff like that. Cause I know the Lord's going to deliver them, you know, I just pray for them, you know, and I don't say a whole lot.
Yeah. I got a question for you. If you need a car chair for the babysitter, you need to find somebody a little bit older, hon. That's not going to work.
Funny. Michael. Good one. But yeah. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you are our convenience, because all we have to do is ask and we have. But we don't need the, we only need the necessities, Lord, and that's all that's important. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Zoom is real convenient. Talking about that, Julie, we used to meet up here every morning for prayer meeting. Now we do it on Zoom, and they still get late coming in. I'm telling you, it's just crazy. It's crazy. And I make fun of them. I said, when we had it up here, you came on time. But when we have it on Zoom, you're 5-10 minutes late. What's wrong with this picture? I'm telling you. Go ahead, Claire.
I'm just thinking about how we can get... I've got quite a lot to say about this convenience thing, but I think I think the one thing is that sometimes he blesses us with it. Like he has blessed us with Zoom, right? So we have to see that every good gift is from above. I am so grateful for my dishwasher. I am so grateful for a washing machine. Like I wouldn't be able, you know, I'm cut out for hand washing. But I would do it if the Lord wanted me to do it. I think there must be that willingness to forego, you know, the niceties or the more convenient sort of things. But then there's also that other side that when you do give it up, if you become, Paula's mom used to have this saying in Afrikaans, like "Dan dink jy jy is baie oulik," which means then you think you're very cute if you've, you know, you've given up stuff. And that's just self-righteousness, right? Like you can't be giving up the flesh to glory in all that you've sacrificed, because what's the point of that? Like you get no reward then, except possibly a harder life, which you've brought on yourself. So it's that fine thing of not being a legalist and not being completely overgiven to the conveniences, but just to walk so that he can bless us, but so that we can also cultivate those disciplines and that self-control and the restraint required. And I see it with everything, like even messaging people or, you know, just like anything. I can just see how the Lord can work with you and he can just refine you ever so gently if you only let him. It's really beautiful the way he uses all things to increase our faith.
Amen. Go ahead, Angelica.
What comes to mind is a scripture where he says, I've learned the secret of all things. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound, you know, because I've often thought, you know, in some of these third world countries or whatever, how they don't have all of these things to overcome like we have here in the Western world, you know, all these conveniences of life. And you know, they have really simple faith, you know what I mean? And I think probably to some degree, some of these conveniences, hinder us in our faith because our minds are geared around them and we don't see any other possibility, you know, but of course the Lord can always speak. And so I will often wonder what is the better, situation to be, you know, because at the same time we do have a lot more overcoming that we have overcome here because of all of the conveniences that we have overcome, whereas perhaps the people there did not have that kind of flesh to overcome. So
amen. I'm reminded of we have a group of people up down the road. They all live together on about a 500 acre farm, and they're called the Plains people. They're an offshoot of the Amish, and they plow their fields with horses and plows, plant their gardens with horses, and they use they don't have any running water in their house. They have a hot water system where they heat the water outside in a tub and carry it in for baths and things like that. And one day, David and I was up there talking to this family that we know. We talk to them quite often. No, they don't have electricity either. No electricity, no running water, and don't want any. Anyway, but there's some caveats to that, and I'll tell you in a minute that what they do. We were up there, and we had one of these girls, they have a washing machine that they put these clothes in there, and you got these young girls out there doing the clothes like this while they pour the hot water. That's just a crazy thing you ever saw. And David was looking around. I could see him. I said, uh-oh, he's fixing to say something. And he did. He said, hey, you know what I'd do? He said, I'd run me a line of hot water down there to that shower was beneath us, underneath the porch on the second floor, underneath the porch. I'd run me a line down there from his hot water tank down to that shower so I could have a hot shower, you know, and that'd be good. And just where I wouldn't have to carry the water, you know, all that many places, you know. And that old boy said, he said, that's what the Lord gave us these muscles for, is to carry that water. David shut up after that, so it's no use talking to him. But here's what happens. They have a generator. They have a generator that they use when they're building a barn or building a house so they can run their power tools, the men. Okay, all right. And they move that, yeah, they move that generator around from family to family when they need it to do something that the men need it. But it's just, anyway, they're good people. They really are. They love the Lord in their way, but they're so legalistic. So legalistic. And we believe that. What was that? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'd rather have the tiny muscles myself. I don't care nothing about carrying that tote nut water up two stories and trying to make some hot water for them. My gracious. But anyway, it's just, it's craziness, you know. We know that during the, when the tribulation comes and everything gets shook up and they see what's happening and they don't have anything to do that we're going to be able to work with. We're going to allow them to grow our vegetables. I don't care if we use horses or tractors, as long as you get the vegetables up there. Right, Rion? Amen. Amen. All right. Anybody else? I love to go out there and watch them work the horses, though. When I was a kid, I saw all the implements that they used to farm with on the fence rows back home, because they done found out the tractor's a whole lot better. Stuff like that. It can do a whole lot more with a tractor. But, you know, they're good people. They're friendly people. And they make, you know, they do a good job growing vegetables. Go ahead, Rhea.
I remember David talking about this, growing tomatoes. It was the same thing, right? Where he goes, yeah, none of these things are bad. It's all good things to do. But because they lack those conveniences, it's keeping them from being able to study the word and to be in the word and to be with God. So conveniences shouldn't become an idol. That's what I think it's about for me. It's when it becomes an idol, the God will deal with that in your life and then you can get rid of it. But if you wanna willfully, you know, be self-sufficient and get off the grid and all those things, there's nothing wrong with that. But it could be in that case where David was talking about, he wanted to go plant some tomatoes and then the lady just pitched up and then just gave them tomatoes, which is very convenient. He didn't have to grow his own. And that's because the Lord said, I didn't call you to grow tomatoes. I called you to do what he was supposed to do, which was study the word and teach. And you know, if we're out there washing our clothes by hand, you know, how much time would we be wasting? And also the Bible warns you to not go into the wilderness if you're not supposed to go into that yet. You can you know, like, don't go if you're not sent. If you're not, there's a big warning like that. Isaiah talks about that.
Amen. Well, if you think about it, what they're doing is humble pride, what we call humble pride in Arkansas. Look at me. You know, works. Yeah, that's right, Angel. It's all works. Go ahead, Pat.
We have the same situation in our area here. I had the same question, though I didn't voice it, that you had about the generators, and they're Another one was cell phones. They all had cell phones, and so, but I think the point was, a lot of these people are born into this environment, into that type of environment, and unfortunately, and that environment is trying to suppress the body, trying to suppress the bodily, I'm not going to say bodily functions, the bodily senses, and equating that with a walk of holiness. And it's missing the point of the soul, not a humbling of the body, but a humbling of the soul, which translates then in its manifestation in the body in some form. But David has a very good teaching on that, and that is the wilderness lessons, or wilderness teaching, or walking in the wilderness. I don't know. He's changed the titles. The titles have changed two or three times. I think it's wilderness living. But that is a very good teaching related to that, where when you the basic bottom line is, you enter the wilderness the moment you trust, you decide to obey God's word and follow that word, and you, by doing so, are humbling your soul to obey the Spirit, and obviously the manifestation happens as it's presented in the body in some form. But I believe that must be the error of legalism, when you think that you're going to take it from the other direction. You're going to humble that body in order to affect the soul, because if the Spirit doesn't humble the soul, if that soul isn't humbled by the Spirit, then it'll only find another place to pop out, and it just can't be done by doing it the other way, body trying to influence the soul. But anyway, that's all.
Amen. Yep. Yeah, this works. This works. Trying to work your way into heaven. And like Rion said, they're not even getting into work enough. But I tell you what, they do think a lot like we do in the fellowship here. It was actually amazing. David was able to go down there and spend an afternoon with him and talk to the elders, and they ask him questions, you know. It was awesome. They actually agreed with a lot of things that we do. And that's what made us friends down there. We were able to go down there and be friends with them, ride around in their bug boards. And we did that one time, piled all the kids in there. Just had a good time. We was trying to make him go fast, you know, go faster, go faster, go faster. Trying to get up to speed there. All right, well, we're out of time. Praise God. Been a good one. I enjoyed it. So I got some good prayers going too. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you, Lord, for taking us into that wilderness and placing it in our hearts to run after you, Lord, with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our strength. And I thank you for doing that, Lord. And I ask and I pray that you give everybody the wherewithal to get up and get in the Word every day, to learn more about you, Lord, to look at those scriptures that we need to obey you, and to have the Holy Spirit just wake up in the morning and ask the Lord to fill you with your Holy Spirit, and to make the day and to lead us, Lord, and to guide us. I thank you, Lord, that tonight you're going to let everybody have a good night's sleep. Thank you for putting those fires out there. And Lord, we thank you for letting it rain where it's supposed to rain. quit raining, where's flood? And we thank you for that, Father. Thank you, Lord, that we know that this pandemic is coming. We ask that you show mercy upon your elect out there and get them safe in a safe way. And we just praise you for doing that. And Lord, prepare our hearts for this wilderness time ahead and get us ready, Lord. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Is that Daniel? Hey, Daniel, what do you say, Brodus Magotus? How you doing?
Hello. Louder. Hello. Here we go. Hello, Uncle Michael.
Hi, Uncle Michael.
And
hey, buddy. How you doing?
Thank you. How are you?
I am blessed beyond my wildest dreams, brother. Amen. Thank you for asking. All right. Let me turn this thing off.